You are listening to Bit Podcast, a business podcast series produced by Bitpod on behalf of PKF Malta.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of Bitpod for this coming year, 2023. This is the first of a series of sessions which we're going to present to you in the coming months. The first topic which we will be tackling is fiscal sustainability, the government's fiscal stance for the coming period. Basically, we have an economist with us, one of our team, Ms. Kylie Borch, who is an economist by profession and is also studying a master's in economics at the University of Malta. And we know that fiscal sustainability hasn't been tackled that much in recent months because of the ongoing issues related to the pandemic, related to the Ukraine war. So we thought of bringing you this session in order to keep you abreast of the ongoing developments on that front.
Thank you for inviting me on this Bitpod. Thank you for inviting me on this Bitpod.
To start with, we're going to discuss a little bit about the notion of fiscal sustainability and what is the basic definition for those who has never heard of it, or perhaps they need a refresher.
To start off, an official definition by the OECD is that fiscal sustainability is the ability of a government to maintain public finances at a credible and serviceable position over the long run. Basically, it's the government's way to sustain its public finances, to be able to survive in the long run without threatening its solvency. That the government needs to continue to forecast strategically both its future revenues and also its liabilities. And by doing so, it requires to also come up with trends for environmental and socio-economic factors in order to adapt his financial planning accordingly.
Yes, and we also know that in context of the European Commission, after all, we are part of the European Union. As a country, we need to take care of our fiscal position, in particular in terms of the Stability and Growth Pact and the Maastricht criteria. This is a key also in the context of the European semester and the EU Integrated Surveillance Framework Programme. We have been subject to excessive deficit procedures in the past, but at the moment that has been given sort of a break because of issues, excessive spending related to the pandemic, sort of. That was a one-off expenditure. Also, as a refresher, Stability and Growth Pact are a set of rules that ensure countries in the EU pursue the same sort of fiscal public finances, so to say, by applying a set of fiscal rules, which are called the Maastricht criteria. For our listeners who need a little bit of a refresher, the Maastricht criteria, governments need to have an annual government deficit of 3% of GDP and a government debt of 60% of GDP. Now, we all know that government debt in the past has increased in the past few years because of issues related to the COVID pandemic. And the European Commission is seeing Malta, in fact, as a high risk in terms of fiscal sustainability for the reason that it is projecting that our country will have an increase in debt levels, possibly reaching 73% of GDP by 2032. And right now, it is around 61% of GDP. So it's over the Maastricht criteria. If we were to speak about the danger of having increasing high debt levels, what do you think, Kylie?
Well, high and increasing debt levels may lead to a vicious cycle of growing debt. And so the overspending on unproductive segments of the economy can be detrimental to the country's GDP, which would then eventually reduce also the potential economic growth. For example, to add on to this, when looking at the economic downturn, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, the ongoing war of the Ukraine, some countries are still facing an increase in their public debt to GDP ratios.
Yes, However, particularly in terms of health items such as PPE and also measures safeguard the health of our society. And also, we have to remember that the government also forked out a number of vouchers intended to boost consumption in the short run.
And now for a quick intermission. At PKF Malta, we are enthusiastic about encouraging startups to flourish. We provide a wide range of professional services necessary for startups to take off, such as assistance with company formation, license applications, setting up bank accounts, auditing, accounting, and tax advice. We've also founded Bitpod, which provides startups with readily available office space. Email us on info@pkfmalta.com to find out more.
How has the pandemic impacted Malta's fiscal sustainability, Kylie?
Well, in Malta, the pandemic has led to two consecutive years of significant fiscal deficits. Mm-hmm. However, thankfully, these fiscal deficits were then sustained by the fiscal surpluses that were accumulated in the previous years, from 2016 to 2019, prior to the pandemic. Such fiscal surpluses were generated due to the overall healthy public finances that were maintained during those years. And so the latest fiscal developments confirm that when the government spending is a function of both short-term and long-term fiscal sustainability, public finances will be more resilient to external economic shocks.
Okay, so for those who have no idea about how to measure fiscal sustainability, how can you give us a brief understanding of how this is measured?
One generally applied metric to measure sustainability of the public finances is the debt-to-GDP ratio. According to the European Union Maastricht criteria, the debt-to-GDP ratio should not exceed the 60% benchmark. Should this benchmark then be exceeded, the debt-to-GDP ratio is considered to be alarming and therefore it should be pushed down as much as possible. One generally applied metric to measure sustainability of the public finances is the debt-to-GDP ratio. According to the European Union Maastricht criteria, the debt-to-GDP ratio should not exceed the 60% benchmark. Should this benchmark then be exceeded, the debt-to-GDP ratio is considered to be alarming and therefore it should be pushed down as much as possible.
Also, due to the supportive fiscal stance taken by the Maltese government over the past 2 years, the debt-to-GDP ratio has increased from 42.7% in 2019, 53.3% in 2020, and to 56.3% in 2021. The national debt was still rising in 2022, and the public debt as a proportion of the GDP stood at 57%. Having said this, from year to year, the debt-to-GDP has been increasing, but it was below the 60% benchmark of the Maastricht criteria. However, as you mentioned earlier, now at around 61%, a bit above the 60% Maastricht criteria.
Yes, yes. And we obviously, as a country, we need to be careful as well, because the European Commission, as I said before, highlighted that in the long run, Malta is at high risks, at a high risk of increasing its debt to GDP ratio, notably also to an increase in aging costs. We all know that we live in an aging society, and that will amount to a number of pressures. So there is another metric as well, I believe, for measuring fiscal sustainability, right?
Yes, in fact, there is the deficit to GDP ratio, which compares the government's fiscal deficits with its GDP of the past 12 months. For this ratio, that the deficit to GDP should not exceed the 3% benchmark. And prior to the pandemic, the 3% benchmark was consistently attained, that from 2016 until 2019, consistent fiscal surpluses implied that the recurrent fiscal spending was in line with both short-term and long-term. The fiscal spending in 2020 increased significantly, which generated a huge rise in the deficit, raising the deficit to GDP ratio to 9.4%. From we can see, it is a lot higher than the 3% benchmark. Then, after the peak of the pandemic, the deficit to GDP ratio reduced to 7.8% in 2021, which has helped in restoring fiscal freedom in order to prevent any potential negative shocks, while also increasing the economy's overall resilience.
Well, this is very interesting, Kylie. And okay, so in your opinion, what should governments do to ensure fiscal sustainability?
Governments face a constant trade-off between short-term and long-term economic growth, that of either spending aggressively at the cost of higher debt in the future, or creating sustainable wealth which considers the opportunities of future economies. Having said this, in relation to the fiscal support given during the pandemic, the Maltese government has overall been prudent in financing the companies hit by the lockdowns, and also governments, on the other hand, which were not prudent in their pandemic spending, are now seen to be facing further fiscal issues due to the latest macroeconomic developments. This, for instance, includes the restoration of the European Union Maastricht criteria benchmark, which are now restored after the pandemic period.
Mm-hmm. And what about policymakers, you think?
Yes, it is imperative that policymakers aim to restore fiscal sustainability amidst the rising energy costs resulting in price pressures and also the uncertainty surrounding the war between Russia and Ukraine, and in fact increasing the opportunity cost of higher fiscal deficits. And then if the interest rates remain elevated, it would most likely cause an issue in the long term, raising then the net interest payments on the debt. And so to conclude, even though the ratios which measure fiscal sustainability, those that I have mentioned, the deficit to GDP and the debt to GDP, have remained well below the EU averages, the Maastricht criteria.
Future policies should therefore be aimed at targeting GDP growth rates, those that exceed the growth in fiscal spending, to ensure fiscal sustainability. Future policies should therefore be aimed at targeting GDP growth rates, those that exceed the growth in fiscal spending, to ensure fiscal sustainability.
With respect to the future now, going forward, what are the latest financial projections, such as in terms of public expenditure, expenditure on employee compensation, social payments, subsidies? What are the statistics saying?
Well, from 2022 until 2025, the public expenditure is planned to remain higher than revenue, with the deficit declining progressively year on year. And over the same period, the yearly average expenditure on employee compensation is slightly more than 6%.
The additional expenditure in intermediate consumption in 2022 mainly reflected an increase in programs and initiatives. Those which you have mentioned earlier, the pandemic-related expenses, as well as additional outlays on carbon credits. Due to the reduction of COVID-19-related expenditures, the intermediate consumption is planned to then be reduced by 0.7% in 2023, and by 3.1% in 2024, and by 2.3% in 2025. The additional expenditure in intermediate consumption in 2022 mainly reflected an increase in programs and initiatives, those which you have mentioned earlier, the pandemic-related expenses, as well as additional outlays on carbon credits. Due to the reduction of COVID-19-related expenditures, the intermediate consumption is planned to then be reduced by 0.7% in 2023, and by 3.1% in 2024, and by 2.3% in 2025.
And what about gross fixed capital formation?
Well, the allocation for public investment is expected to be higher in 2023. However, these increments are planned to be reversed in 2024 and 2025, leaving the level of public investment close to the level in 2021. The government is planning to shift public investment from that on public infrastructure, road and transport networks, to incentives encouraging more green and digital investment. And subsidies also have been increasing over the past few years due to the assistance provided to support employment through various initiatives, primarily the wage support scheme administered by Malta Enterprise. And on the other hand, additional expenditure was also introduced in 2022 to tackle the rising energy prices. The budgetary impact of these discretionary measures is projected to decline significantly in 2024 and 2025.
In summary, the expansionary fiscal stance taken by government over the past 2 years was crucial to ensure that the Maltese economy remained resilient as well to combat the economic challenges brought about by the pandemic. Tell me about the expansionary fiscal stance right now, Kylie.
The expansionary fiscal stance taken by the government, as you said, over the past 2 years was very crucial in order to combat the economic challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And but however, the need for supportive budgetary policy still remains, as the conflict between the Russia and Ukraine has slowed down the economy global recovery from the pandemic. Adding on to this, reminds that when economic conditions allow, the fiscal policies should again be aimed at achieving a prudent medium-term fiscal position and ensuring debt sustainability while also enhancing the investment.
And we've heard talk about the fiscal space. Can you tell us a bit more regarding that?
The fiscal space is very crucial to be rebuilt to counteract any future adverse shocks and to also enhance the economy's overall resilience. And the fiscal space, which was available pre-pandemic because of the accumulation of fiscal surpluses and the low level of public debt, proved to be very valuable as they made implementation of the aggressive fiscal support measures to be possible.
Well, that's it from our end, and thank you very much, Kylie. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed listening to these updates and more about the importance of fiscal sustainability in Malta and also the latest trends and the projections for the government's finance. I invite all of our listeners to stay up to date with our socials for the upcoming BitPods. Thank you for your attention and bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Bit Podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.